London, let's go. London, let's go. London, let's go. Sugar babes, let's go.
She got her red pumps, red pearls. She gon' make some next.
Okay, babedom, here we are. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by He Says Thank You for the Heartbreak While He's Dancing Off His Tears, David Lim, and me, it's my time, my moment, Joel Babington. Hello, babedom. Are you ready to get sexy? Hello, David Lim. How are you? And are you ready to get sexy?
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what? I've been waiting to do
get
our
sexy.
To do our Sweet Seven episode for such a long time. Like, obviously, this album is, you know, it divides people. It's a little bit like Marmite, but we can celebrate a good pop album, can't we?
And that is exactly what we are doing here today. I am treating this in my mind a lot like our Justice for Spice Girls Forever album.
Yes.
An album that I think people will either know and love or they didn't listen to it. I think it'll be one way or the other. And I'm hoping that this episode is a chance to celebrate that to the people that do know it, and also a soft introduction to the people that haven't listened to it before. So look, if you're listening, you're part of the babedom, and you wrote off Sugar Babes 4.0, strap in, we're going to have a really fun time, and we're going to have some grade A pop bops. We are recording on fireworks night, so while we don't like to date the podcast, we're also going to apologise here for ambiotic background sounds of the fireworks. It's just because the music today is so explosive.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. So Jolie B, how are you anyway?
Good, thank you, David. It's been a good week. It's been a busy week. We are, you know, we're getting that towards the end of the year now, which is really scary, but my brain's feeling really switched on. I'm feeling strapped in, so I'm here for it. How are you doing?
Really good. Lots going on as well in the diary. It just kind of feels like, oh my God, Christmas can't be coming up soon. Like, it just doesn't feel real yet. I just want to get through November and yeah. And hopefully I'll get to go back to Australia as well for Christmas.
Fingers crossed. If I could wish for anything this Christmas, David, it's that you get to do that. I don't want anything else. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners would wish exactly the same thing. Look, last time we had our 50th, so here's cheers to 51. 51 and gorgeous.
Cheers, cheers, darling.
Cheers. And let's cheers all six sugar babes, shall we?
Yeah, to all the six babes. And to you, the babedom, everyone listening.
And to you, the babedom. All right, Davo, look, before we get sexy today, can we please read out a lovely five-star review?
Absolutely. Okay, I'm trying to find what you sent me.
In your WhatsApp images.
Oh, yes, that's a good shout. Tap on the image. Oh, I'm always like
oh,
this.
Oh, where is it in here?
I feel like an old person.
Dave, where's the remote?
Jolie, can you do a thing? So this one is from Ed Star One. This one's left on Apple Podcasts Australia. Hello, g'day.
Hello.
So this lovely five-star review starts off with, better than a Sugar Babes harmony. Every episode is like a warm hug from mum, except instead of a warm hug, it's 10 out of 10 pop takes. And instead of mum, it's two lovely chart-obsessed English gay lads with a heart emoji. Thank you very much.
How did you know we're gay?
I think you're gay and you're not telling anyone.
51 episodes in and we've been outed, David Lim. But also, David, cheers to you being a London lad.
I know, right? Am I really passing? Yeah.
The Aussie Dave Erasure.
My Aussie friends back home wouldn't like that, but yeah.
No, thank you so much. That is the absolute perfect review, and I'm glad we had it in time for what's in theory our final Sugar Babes episode. Never say never. Never say final.
Yeah, look, we've been teasing it so long, and we've never done like a two artist in a row kind of episode situation before, no. But it feels appropriate. We can't keep dragging it on. And when we're so warmed up after doing the last episode with Change and Catfights and Spotlights, it just kind of felt like, yeah, let's keep going. Jolie B, I have to say, after doing our part three Sugar Babes, we really had some very mixed reaction to our accents. We were on one with that last episode. There was a lot going
on. Don't you dare drag me like that, David, because I've had just positive, overwhelmingly glowing feedback. People telling me it absolutely makes their day when we do accents. People trying to contain their tears of laughter.
Oh, no, your Heidi range is iconic. Your Heidi accent is really iconic. Like Miss Eliza Day describing it as an oral version of Snatch Game. Like that had me just dying. Like, I just
the
couldn't.
Miss Eliza Day of the iconic This Is Disco podcast.
A lot of people have said my Scouse sounds more Welsh.
That's fabulous. Look, we're not professional accent doers. We're just two London gay lads, as we've now been outed. But look, we're just here to have a bit of fun, you know?
Just a bit of cheeky fun.
Just a bit of cheeky lads having a bit of cheeky fun, do you know what I mean? So no, it's all good. And David, your accents in the last episode gave me life. I need you to have a few more drinks because I need Amel to make a reappearance. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Someone said it sounded like Phil Mitchell. I'm like, what is Phil Mitchell?
Oh, David, come on. We can't do another Soap Huns educational episode. I mean, we can.
So, Jolie B, shall we start off our Sweet 7 to Freedom extravaganza here in 2009? Let's give everyone a quick recap, because this year is a very, very wild one for the Sugar Babes. We're talking about some real buzzy highs and then some tumultuous changes. Like, you just couldn't believe that everything just happened so quickly and it was just all played out in the press. And yeah, it gets very bittersweet rather than just Sweet 7.
But the bittersweet has ripened into a gorgeous sweet grape and a beautiful deep glass of red wine that we are going to reflect on.
No, we're going to gulp and guzzle, yeah.
Which we already have. But look, we are here to celebrate the positive. The focus here with us is always the music. And as we have said many times, these are six incredibly talented women that we celebrate and put on a pedestal. We will touch on moments, but we aren't people that we don't revel in.
Yeah, we're not here about
the negative.
Drama.
That's not what we're here about. Yes, it will be touched on, but it is, you know, empowering these incredible, incredible performers
and
that
we
have gifted our lives.
Yeah, we want to put some positivity into this era. And because it is a very, very fun album. So that's exactly what we're here to do. At this point in 2009, it's been roughly 10 years since the Sugar Babes were conceived, you know. So much has happened in the last 10 years. You know, we're now looking at the third lineup, Keisha, Heidi, Amel. At this point in 2009, the Sugar Babes have released six studio albums and one greatest hits. Five of those studio albums were UK top 10s. The greatest hits went top three. They have had 20 UK top 20 hits at this point, six UK number ones. So really, they are a little bit of pop veterans by this point, aren't they?
More than a little bit, Davo. You know, we're only seeing it now with Little Mix that people are having a 10-year run. Our girl band Support, they fly high and they bow out, you know. The Spice Girls, the biggest girl band of all time, first two albums within 2 years. You know, the Spice Girls as we knew and loved them, 2 years.
Yeah, just keeping that in mind that they are roughly 10 years into the Sugar Babes' career at this point. But we've got some very exciting news. April 2009, the Sugar Babes have signed a US deal with Jay-Z's Rockefeller Records. Now, this is fucking huge.
That's brilliant.
I also love that they reportedly signed this deal in Nobu. Like, I just love that little detail. It's like, who put that in a press release? Like, I wonder if Nobu's press officer was like, yeah, we need to get a mention in here.
You can use the venue if you could just mention us in the release. Thank you.
So yeah, the Sugar Babes were the first British act associated with Jay-Z's label, which is home to not only Jay-Z's music, but Kanye's and Jada Kiss. And, you know, in all the press interviews, Amel, Keisha, Heidi, they were all talking about, oh, you know, it's so great to be closely associated with Rihanna and Beyonce as well. It's just, you know, puts them in a different level, doesn't it? Like, I just remember when this news broke out online, I was just like, oh my God, like, who would have thought at this point in their careers, they're going to crack America, you know, it's finally going to happen. Like we were saying in our last episode, it kind of felt like About You Now could have been a crossover moment in America, and then that didn't happen. No. So this feels like, oh, it's really going to happen now.
Yeah, this could still serve as a big American flashy debut album.
Exactly. So, you know, we're thinking, I mean, was 2009, was the Pussycat Dolls already up and running?
Yeah, they'd be like practically done, wouldn't they?
From the American public's point of view, you know, they've had the Pussycat Dolls. Maybe now it's time for another girl group to come in. And who better than the Sugar Babes, right?
They've cracked the UK and they're here to top the top of the US Billboard Top 200 chart. So funky how they put the words together and they took out the R. I was like, are you serious?
It's a shame we didn't get like a TRL moment, did we? Like, maybe TRL wasn't even a thing by this point in 2009, but you know, like a Good Morning America or something. It's always been a dream of mine to perform in Madison Square Garden. And there it is. There's the Welsh Heidi again. Oh my God. It's actually Catherine Jenkins.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she's here, whoever she is. The last episode, we had a really big chapter with the About You Now and the Change album. And then we had, you know, every artist has that. It was by no means a flop album. It was still a successful album, but, you know, it was just an album. It wasn't a huge moment.
Yeah, it wasn't a moment. Yeah, and when you're the Sugar Babes and you've had so much success with every album, and then suddenly one album kind of is a little bit lukewarm, everyone thinks, oh gosh, it's over.
Yeah, yeah, it was, you know, that was a Tesco Mums album sort of thing. Whereas this felt like, okay, this is the next chapter.
They're re-energized. It kind of feels like there's new energy behind it. And they were all like, okay, let's get back to work. So very exciting times in the summer of 2009. And also to top it off, one of the babes went solo, didn't they?
August 2009, Never Leave You, Tinchy Strider featuring Amel. I mean, David, who would have thought it? Tinchy Strider, I'm right back at you.
I don't think those words have ever been spoken.
Because everything's changed, reminiscing them days, trying to turn the page. Because
I've been around the world, I've seen so many places, living the life of work so hard to make it, trading the world for money, stars and power, living my life at 100 miles.
Tinchy Strider was not really a thing in Australia. I don't think this single crossed over there, but look, it was a big number one hit here. And he had just had a number one single prior to this as well. So Amel stepping in at this point for this track is just
big deal.
Big deal. And I think she was just like the perfect kind of icing on the cake for Tinchy's record, you know?
Absolutely. And a great way, really, to kick off a new era with the Sugar Babes, like fresh off having a number one with Tinchy Strider. It's Amel and the Sugar Babes. I will never leave ya.
I mean, this song kind of is like a British precursor to Jay-Z and Alicia Keys' Empire State of Mind, isn't it? It's got that kind of hip hop mid-tempo with like the synths. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of a little bit forgettable, but it's still like a nice touch, isn't it? Just to see a member of the Sugar Babes step out and do something.
Yeah, and that it's really successful. I think Amel's gorgeous on the chorus and in her parts, like, fantastic.
She also appears on Tinchy's next album. She was on an album track. They didn't make the most of Amel's vocals there. Like, they put lots of auto-tune on it, so it literally could have been anyone. Like, it could have been me, really.
So, yeah, but look, David, this song knocked I Got a Feeling off the top of the charts, and that was a mammoth summer hit.
Well done, Tinche and Amel.
This makes Amel the only member of the Sugar Babes, of the Sugar Babes Marvel Universe, to thus far have a solo number one.
Now, by this point, the new era of the Sugar Babes have already started percolating and, you know, album samplers have gone out for the Sweet 7 album, you know, very iconic. I remember seeing this on Pop Justice and I was so jealous. I really wanted one. For Get Sexy, the single, they did it in a condom wrapper in the promo for the promo CD. And I thought that was just genius.
Guys, if any of you have that at home, do put it up on your socials and tag the Right Back At Your Boys.
I feel like I've seen it on eBay before and it was going for like a couple of £100.
So as you were saying, the music was really getting out there. And that's because the Sugar Babes, even with all the lineup changes and everything, they are still at the root of whoever's in the band, a live vocal band. That summer, they started doing festivals again, David. They performed at the August Midlands Music Fest where they performed Get Sexy. They performed About a Girl for the, wow, I think for the first time ever, three of them still with Keisha. And Heidi does the most fantastic Heidi Hun intro ever. So we've been off to America and we've signed with Jay-Z's label. And now this next song we're going to sing is going to be our second single off the new album. So not the first one. It's the second one, and it was produced by, who was it produced by? And then Amel goes, Red One. And then she goes, Red One, Lady Gaga's producer. Bum, 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 bum.
There's so much detail in the explaining, you know. It's very like Hun at a dinner party where they're trying to like, you know, name drop and, yeah, oh yeah, these are my new Louboutins. You know Louboutins, Christian Louboutin.
Apple pie. But yeah, it was such a long intro of like, so here's where we've been and what we've been up to. Like, not direct, like, this is one of our upcoming singles, let's go for it. Like, America, Jay-Z. Red, like, and then what's his name? Red One.
But you know what, Joel? This really is a reminder that them doing all the summer festivals, like you were saying, all the kind of pre-release performances, kind of says that, look, we're taking this seriously. Maybe we didn't do this with Catfights and Spotlights, and that's where we mucked up a bit. Now we've had a little bit of a Christmas break. We're back with new energy, and now we're going to properly set up this album for you guys, you know? So August 2009, the Sugar Babes are back with the lead single off their seventh album, Get Sexy.
When are they going to get sexy?
Right now. Now.
When I'm walking down the street, they say, hey, sexy.
Hey, sexy.
When I'm dancing in the club, they say, hey, sexy.
Hey, sexy.
When I'm driving in my car, or I'm standing at the bar, it don't matter where I are, they say, hey, sexy.
Hey, sexy.
Silly boy, they loving me so much. Silly boy, you can't look, but you can't touch. Silly boy.
This is quite the improvement on Girls, isn't it?
Oh my God, this is like, look, I know it's trashy. Yes, it samples the Right Said Fred song, I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt, or whatever it is. But do you know what? We were coming off Lady Gaga's The Fame era. Kesha's TikTok was the song of the summer. You know, this was like truly my peak Demon Twink era. Like, I was just turning 22 this year, going out a lot. And this song is just giving me that energy.
Yeah, and you were just like, walking down the street, you were at the bar in a two-piece on the beach and you were just getting sexy. It don't matter where he are, guys.
I just remember like going to an R&B night in Melbourne and they would play this song. And my favorite thing to do was that basically walk to the front of the club and then walk in just as Keisha was going, when I'm walking to the club, they say he's sexy. Sexy.
Well, I bet you had to do that. Run there. I sit on the floor. The song comes on. You run.
Well, they give you like a few seconds intro. So from the second I heard it was on. Yeah.
In conversation. Sorry.
Straight to the dog. Everyone in positions. I swear that was like a Facebook status update as well back in the day. If I had a dime for every single time these boys stop and stare, I'd be a billionaire.
If we had a dime for every person that listened to this, we'd be
£2 richer.
I think it slightly runs the risk of coming across as a novelty track.
Yeah.
Where it's doing that. What it does is it sets up this new chapter. Basically, from here on out for the rest of the album, the brief is sexy.
and glossy, you know, it's big, glossy sounds. You know, they've signed to Jay-Z's label now. It's a new level up for the girls. And some people may not want to see that for the Sugar Babes because they see them as more gritty and a little bit more alternative. But honey, that notion of the Sugar Babes is long gone now. Like, we've evolved, you know, these are like sexy, fierce young women. You know, if they want to sing about looking sexy in a two-piece on a beach, then it's their fucking prerogative. Like, yes, do
it. Absolutely. So I think, which from here and then even more so later, I think it was probably just slightly too hard for people that knew the Sugar Babes to grasp. But I mean, it's a banger, it's a hit, and now we get it, you know?
It's a sharp change, I would say, but also, like, why not? They're a top-selling girl group. They were the number one girl group in Britain, right? So why not do it?
Absolutely. And I think if they, you know, you do something and then you see what worked and what didn't work, and then I guess if they look at the last album, they're probably just like, let's go for it.
So this song was written by Bruno Mars and his production songwriting group, The Smeezingtons.
And this was before he was Bruno Mars, basically.
Now, Joel, the one slight thing I have about this single is it's the music video. I feel like, yeah, the video did a disservice to the girls and the song. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah, same. So the music video, we've got them behind screens. We've got them in chains. We've got them in graffiti, sexy written walls, birdcage. It's all there, darling. But it isn't the big, glossy, F-off priority act music video for a big, new, flashy American album that we want. There were elements of it I liked. I liked behind the screens, and I did like Amel in the birdcage. I thought that was gorgeous. We were seeing that in Miley's Can't Be Tamed. We were seeing that a lot of the time, but she looked fantastic in it. And I did like when the girls all came together, but I didn't like some bits just... It felt like it was rushed or just not thought through. I didn't like when they're in the circle in the chains going round.
You know, I guess in a way it mirrors a little bit of the Freak Like Me video, that kind of underground club, dark grittiness. But I don't think it works for this song.
It didn't work.
If you're going to go with this big glossy dance track direction, then give us dancers. Give us, you know, choreography. Where's the girl group energy, really? Like, we're not seeing the kind of togetherness, yeah. And we're not seeing this as a unit. We're seeing three individuals,
and I think
really.
You partly nailed it on the head there, because where are the dancers? We're not used to seeing the Sugar Babes do choreography. So I think a way to have evened that out would have been, because it felt a bit unnatural. Anyway, they were fantastic, but as an audience, we're just not used to it. So if they're going to do that, we should go for it. And there's loads of dancers and they do what they're doing. And then maybe the dancers are doing an even more intricate routine.
Yeah, exactly. Let the dancers compliment them. Yeah.
And in a way, if the trajectory had gone like that, it could have set up the era for us to get used to that as the Sugar Babes. But it did set up the mood board of this era, which literally was sexy, sexy, sexy. Could this be performed on Blue Peter, David? I'm not sure. So, Davo, this song, though, was a really, really big hit in the UK, a song of the summer, if you will. It was a number two hit here in the UK, which is a fantastic thing to kick off a brand new album era with. 75 in Australia. Thank you for wiggling your bum in the R&B club with that, doing the Sugar Babes promo for Down Under. 9 on the European Hot 100, 3 in Ireland, Europe was almost getting sexy.
For all the talk about Jay-Z, Jay-Z's label, they were blocked from number one in the UK by Jay-Z, their own boss, featuring Rihanna and Kanye West, Run This Town. Somebody didn't tell Mr. Z that. They didn't send him the release schedule, clearly.
Mr. Carter, if I can call you that, your song with Rihanna is coming out the same day as ours in the UK. Is there anything we could do about that, maybe?
I would just love it if she said that to Jay-Z and Jay-Z is just like, I'm sorry, who is this woman? Security. Going into it in September 2009, at the first week of it, the girls had a club appearance at Movida. It's a nightclub here in London, I believe. They were doing a set there that was also filmed for MSN exclusive.
Which my friend Ian worked on. Hello, Ian. He's literally the straightest man that doesn't get all my pop references at all. And then he just sometimes goes, oh, I think I did something, worked on something with him. And I go, oh my God, what?
Tell me everything. So, yeah, look, as we said before, you know, all summer they've been performing songs from the Sweet 7 album, just giving fans a real taste for it. You know, there were lots of various acoustic sessions where the girls would do an album track called No More You that was written by Neo just for them, according to Keisha. So, you know, we were getting these tracks out. And then this Movida Club gig, Joel, I remember distinctly back in the days watching the fan-filmed footage online going, oh my God, this is the first time we're hearing the new Sugar Babes album performed live. So they were doing No More You, and they did Thank You for the Heartbreak and also About a Girl. Very, very exciting. But the big problem here was it was only Keisha and Heidi, no Amel.
And obviously, I guess you probably, it's sort of muscle memory in a way. They have performed as a twosome a fair few times over the years, especially when Mutia was on maternity leave. They would still be doing gigs and stuff. So they actually, you know, really do really well. They, in any lineup, they do really well. Like, they can hold the fort and really do what they need to do.
Around this time, the press went absolutely ballistic, running stories that Amel had vanished for days. No one has seen her. No one's been able to get in touch with her. Is she okay? What is going on? There's all these stuff in the tabloids every single day. You know, apparently Amel's family had called the police and police officers were checking in on her just to see if she's okay at home. And then, you know, you've got all these various source quotes that are briefing the tabloids saying, you know, she's really unhappy. She's scared of Keisha. You know, these types of a little bit of mudslinging had already started at this point, and it's starting to get a little prickly there. And then obviously Keisha had to defend herself. So she would say, you know, that no one's ever been bullied in the Sugar Babes ever. You know, I'm not going to be used as a scapegoat. Which is very fair enough. You know, everyone's human. It's a very high pressure environment. They're kicking off a new album era. This is absolutely not what anyone needs. But at the same time, people are human. They get tired. They get exhausted. In a group, in any kind of group and relationship, the dynamics, you know, that's just life, isn't it?
Being in a pop band, you can only imagine how exhausting it is and how being in one of the most exhausting jobs and then also being stuck with people, you're going to have moments, you know?
But everything was just played out and magnified in the press. And it just seems like someone internally in their team was just fanning the flames that way. And it's adding more pressure onto the girls' personal relationship with each other. And it's really starting to show at this point. And it's really not ideal because they're about to get into their next single, About a Girl. You know, in late September, they were scheduled to shoot the music video in LA. And this is where shit really hits the fan. In late September, Heat World was reporting that Amel had left the Sugar Babes and Eurovision singer Jade Ewen has been drafted in as a replacement. A couple of days later, 21st of September 2009, the real bombshell dropped. It was revealed that Keisha had been kicked out of the band and replaced by Jade. Keisha's statement was, I'm sad to say I'm no longer part of the Sugar Babes. Although it was not my choice to leave, it's time to enter a new chapter in my life. I would like to state that there were no arguments, bullying, or anything of that sort that led to this. Sometimes a breakdown in communication and lack of trust can result in many different things. Shocking day. Do you remember where you were when that happened, Joel?
All I remember is it just being such a shock. I was like really busy with my studies at college and everything, so I wasn't like a full-blown Twitter gay at the time. You know, it was a funny time in the internet. I wasn't tapped into the blogosphere and stuff that much at the time. So all those rumblings really did pass me by and go over my head. So when it was just announced this lineup change, it was such a shock. And I just couldn't believe it. And it felt like the nation was shook, and I'm not even exaggerating.
When it was revealed that Keisha had been replaced, I'm just like, oh no, not again. Like, I don't know if the group can survive it this time. And then instantly you just felt the reaction on social media and the early days of Twitter then was just like, oh, that's it. No more original members. That's it. It can't go on.
What's really interesting, David, is that even before they announced Keisha had left, there was an announcement made that Jade was taking time off from all promotional activity of her current single for the foreseeable future. So everyone was like, something's really happening here. Like, that's pretty much a confirmation. I'll be honest with you, David. I was one of those people that when that happened, I tapped out. I was just like, this is over. The Sugar Babes, you couldn't do the Sugar Babes without the final founding member. Even when we started this podcast, I had not given this era any of my time.
Wow.
So that's the growth we all go on in our journeys, everyone.
You know, episode 51, here we are, you know, we're holding hands, prayer circle around Sugar Babes 4.0.
All this work that we're about to talk about now, well, I am anyway, I can't speak for David. I am speaking about this as fantastic material that's like grade A girl band material.
Not necessarily a Sugar Babes album. We're seeing it as an A grade girl group album.
Exactly.
Yeah. So shall we talk about who Jade Ewin is?
So David, Jade Ewin is someone that has been a star waiting in the wings almost all her life by the scenes of it. She has been preparing for her time, her moment.
So she's a London-born singer and actress, Sylvia Young trained. Very fun fact, back in 2006, Jade was actually in a girl group. She was in a glossy R&B trio signed to Sony BMG called Trinity Stone. She was only 19 at the time. The group had one single out and then disbanded the following year. You know, it seemed quite promising at the time. Pop Justice wrote about this new group. They were working with Brian Rawling, Stargate, and American producers like So Shock and Carlin, who worked on Victoria Beckham's album, and Whitney Houston, but the VB, first and foremost. So yeah, Jade had a taste of a girl group very briefly there.
But now my instincts tell me there could be somebody who is searching like me tonight. Oh yeah. Move a little closer, baby. I really gotta feel you next to me.
But you know, 2006 was a hard time to try and launch a new girl band.
It is tough. You know, just ask the Dolly Rockers and Girls Can't Catch. Yeah. And Mini Viva.
R.I.P. those amazing girl bands. So let's go to 2009, David. Jade Ewin takes part in the Eurovision Your Country Needs You contest. So this year, David, it was a really big deal. Andrew Lloyd Webber was doing the song. So it was a huge nationwide competition searching for who was going to sing this song. It was, you know, your stereotypical talent TV show format. We see the auditions, whittles down to finalists, and it's weekly shows and the audience vote. Well, I can't remember if it was audience or panel. I'm going to say it was audience voted for a winner. Do you know who else auditioned for this show, David?
No, because this whole thing like passed me by. Like, my first impressions of Jade Ewin was not Eurovision. So this is all very fascinating to me. And I just can't believe that Eurovision was this very year she joined the Sugar Babes. So it must have been like a crazy, crazy year for Jade.
One year she performed on Eurovision. Next year they're picking the UK act. She is performing as part of the Sugar Babes on the Making Your Mind Up TV show.
Mad. She's had quite a year. Yeah. So who else was who else was running to represent the UK?
A young Rita Ora auditioned for this show, David.
No way. Did she get to actually sing on the show?
She did. She sung on the show. You can see her whole audition. It's on YouTube.
Oh my God. Wow.
She decided to not continue. So basically, the show must have liked so much because they still showed her audition. And then Graham Norton does a voiceover and says, Rita's decided to not continue her journey on this show. But David Lim, even if Rita Ora had been a contestant.
No match.
Good for you, Rita. This was always going to be Jade's. No one could have sung this song but Jade Ewin. It suits her perfectly. Jade is someone that can do musical theatre, pop, R&B. And here is someone singing this classic pop musical theatre sounding song. Not normally up the JB Street. Wasn't even up the JB Street at the time. But bloody hell, I tell you, I adore this song now, David. So it's written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Diane Warren.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she ended up winning the chance to represent the UK at Eurovision in 2009. And Jade placed fifth, which is the best placement for the UK since 2002. And guess what? We've not done better since. So Jade Ewan is still the record holder. That's the peak for the UK as we stand now.
It was also the largest number of points since the UK won in 1997 with Love Shine a Light. I got emotional watching this song earlier today. She absolutely nailed it on the night. It is one of the only times in recent history that the UK has gone and heavily promoted the song around Europe. So look, Eurovision, look, I want an up-tempo bop, but this is the energy we need to bring to Eurovision. High caliber, commitment, budget, promotion. You know, take it seriously. And someone commented on YouTube 7 years ago, she reminds me of Mariah Carey.
Ooh, a little foreshadowing to 2021, where she plays actual Mariah in the Luis Miguel Netflix series, right? Which friend of the podcast, Nick Levine, just interviewed her for.
Interviewed actual Jade. I could not believe it.
After Eurovision, she has a solo deal with Polydor. It turns out she already had a solo deal with Polydor in the background, and she's been working on her debut album. That Eurovision single came out through Geffen, so it was a different label.
And that was a top 30 hit here in the UK, David.
Absolutely deserved. Now, I also wanted to quickly point out, amazingly, some of Jade's co-writes have ended up with other artists. Booty Love, a little bit, that album track on Boogie Tonight. That's a Jade Ewan co-write. Our Australian darling, Jessica Malboy, a young diva. Jessica Malboy's single, Let Me Be Me, was written by Jade Ewan. I didn't know that.
I just want to be me.
The first time I came across Jade was actually her solo single, My Man. And I'm pretty convinced that this was the first time I saw Jade, not through the gaze of her being a sugar babe.
And not through the gaze of her being a sugar babe.
Yes. So I think this single must have been doing rounds on the blogosphere, like on the pop blogs. There was certainly hype around it because the music video went online in August, so a month before she joined the Sugar Babes and released this single.
Well, look, David, My Man is a slick R&B pop banger that the likes of Rita Ora or Nicole Scherzinger would be lucky to have in their discography. Live Laugh Levine had given this song 4 out of 5 stars on Digital Spy. Not everybody has that.
Absolutely. And it's written by Ina Rolston, who has worked with The Saturdays. And then in recent years, she had her own hit with Jax Jones, Breathe. So, you know, quality. Polydor was not mucking about here. Good songwriter. And they sent Jay to Beverly Hills to shoot the music video. So it's decent budget.
David, this music video. So we're in LA. We've got Jade in this mansion. Different locations, different outfits, different hair. In the mansion, in one of the rooms, there's a panther in the background. And I'm like, is this the VB panther from her album cover?
From the Victoria Beckham album. I mean, yeah, it could have been. You never know.
Oh, I think it is. We're going to say it is.
This single came out on 17th of September. 18th of September, Jade's team issued a statement saying, due to unforeseen circumstances beyond our control, we regret to inform you that Jade Ewan will be taking time off from all promotional activity for the foreseeable future. Now, that to me sounds like a sick note, but really, pop fans and, like, you know, detectives on the internet have put 2 and 2 together. They'll be like, uh-oh, she's got a new job. She's a sugar babe.
This song charted at 35 here in the UK and 13 on the UK R&B chart. Now, that's not bad considering halfway through release week, Jade dipped out of promo. She did still drop by GMTV for a very high energy 9 a.m. performance with her and her backing dancers, though. Just come straight from GAY from the 3 a.m. performance to GMTV.
Also, while we're here talking about Jade's solo tracks, want to give a real shout out to my all-time favorite. This, I guess, would have been a future album track of hers, the very dead rocker, I Had Him First. Oh, I'm obsessed with this song.
Get it, Jade. Leak the album.
So, Joel, let's move on to October 2009. It kind of feels like we're taking you guys through month by month, but because really so much is happening in Sugar Babes' planet in this year that it kind of makes sense to just course through it like this together. So from September to October time, Jade's been recruited in the group. You know, she only met Amel and Heidi in Los Angeles 2 days before their music video shoot together. And when she was flown out there, she wasn't even told that she was replacing Keisha.
I mean, Jade said herself she wanted to meet the girls first and see what the vibe is and see if she got on with them, but there was no time for that. It was literally thrown in.
On top of re-recording Keisha's parts for the album, you know, she was probably learning routines and she was starting to do some promo with Heidi. This was the time where it was made known to the press that Amel has checked into a clinic for nervous exhaustion. Heidi and Jade issued a joint message at that time saying, "It seems that with all the recent events in the band, right up to Jade joining us a few weeks ago, the stress over a period of months has unfortunately taken its toll on Amel, and she's now suffering from a severe bout of nervous exhaustion. For the next 3 weeks, Amel will be staying in a private health clinic in Europe where she will be able to rest and recuperate under expert supervision." So, you know what? You got to take time out. You know,
absolutely. Bless her heart.
We saw that with our Mariah Glitter episode. You know, these things happen. Our pop stars work very hard and it's round the clock and it's intense pressure.
All I can do is hope that Amel got the help she needed and was happy to come back to work when she was.
Must be awkward for Jay, just joined and still learning stuff and then now having to basically navigate it with Heidi. But,
my God, you know, yeah. Well, imagine.
It's just a curveball, isn't it? It just shows that this was a constant curveball. And Jade said in her recent interview with NME, the whole time she was in a Sugar Babes, it felt like she was just trying to catch her breath and just stay above water.
So, David, she flew out to LA and you're saying 2 days she then filmed the About a Girl music video. So my question and thought is, did they even have Jade on the track when they made the music video, or were they still recording to the Keisha version?
They might have been recording to the Keisha version, yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
We'd love to know that.
So, which brings us very nicely to now, 8th of November 2009, the release of the second Sweet 7 single, About a Girl. Red One, Sugar Babes. Like the lights, stars and stripes, all night. Can see you don't know about a girl. I'll take over the world and I'm gonna party like, oh, you don't know about a girl. The meaning of the word is we just wanna party like, oh. Lady Gaga.
Did you see that film A Star Is Born? I worked with her producer. If we were in that position, that would be us 10 years later at the dinner table.
Now, Jolie B, what did you think of this song? Because I, at this point, already, you know, coming out of a Lady Gaga, the Fame era, I was very obsessed and in tune with anything Red One was doing. I was ready for this. I was ready.
I wasn't ready, David. I wasn't ready. I did secretly know this was a bop. This is by far the strongest single off the album. I think this should have been the first single.
Really?
Do you want to take this outside? That's the energy David Lynn's giving me. Let me alert the press. We've got a routine here from the girls. Straight away, you've got the arms going up. You've got the bend over bit in the routine and the tap the bum. All of those I love
very
about...
Very signature Pussycat Dolls kind of move,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, all of those I love about it now. All of those are partly why it was jarring for me at the time. But as a girl band, as a pop group, as the things we love, I think it's 10 out of 10. As you would, right? Jade is in a new gig. So when you're in a new gig with high pressure, you've got to show up and show out more than ever, right? And she kills it in this music video. She kills it vocally and she kills it performance-wise.
Does she do the leg up in the air?
We see her doing the leg. We see her doing the routine.
Very Kim Wyatt, yeah.
As someone with a former stage school past, and obviously I don't have an ounce of talent that Jade Ewan has, but like, that's the energy you would give it because you're like, here I am. And I love that, but it was just tough because that's never something we would have seen in a Sugar Babes video before.
So do you know what? This music video was shot with stunt doubles used to portray the Sugar Babes members because even at that time, the directors and the team, they weren't sure if the band could actually be together to shoot the video.
No, and I bet they shot that in the... You know, while Jade's there in the 2 days, I bet they shot that before the girls ever came to set in those 2 days. The music video for About a Girl is inspired by Kill Bill, and there's a whole narrative to the music video, which is cool. But to me, they say stunt doubles, but these three other girls are characters in a music video. You see their faces, you see them.
Yeah, but which is why it's so confusing.
It's
right,
very confusing because it's meant to have sort of synergy to the girls, I'm guessing. Like, they don't need to match up, but make a more definite decision about it. So it is quite jarring, the narrative to the girls' performance, that I think I would have liked to just seen the girls perform in the desert.
So, Jolie B, this single debuted at number 8 in the UK, another successful top 10 hit for the Sugar Babes. You know, I think at the time, number 8 was quite okay for the Sugar Babes. I'm sure the label would have expected more, but I don't think they were necessarily doing as much in the lead-up promo because Amel was off. Next comes, and this was a shock to me, Joel, because I thought the album... Surely in my mind, I thought the album had come out around the time of this single.
David, it was a shock to me too.
But the reason for them pushing back this album was because they wanted to give more time to promo it. Under normal circumstances, without the lineup change and everything going according to schedule, this album would have already been released in November.
Well, yeah, if the sampler was going out in the summer. Gaz on YouTube knew after songs.
We're now in February 2010, single number 3... Wear My Kiss.
Wear my kiss all over your body. Won't you try it on? You can't live without it. Wanna wear my kiss all over your lips. I promise you this. You wanna wear my kiss.
So look, David, to me, this was a strange single choice.
What?
David Lim leaves the call. And the big right back at you fall out.
Trust the chaotic Sweet 7 era to be the one where we fall out.
Yeah, yeah. I just think this is, like, I think there's so many better songs on the album that could have been a single over this.
But don't you think this is really exciting with the electric guitars?
Da, da, no, da, da, da,
da, da, da, da, da. I love it. I just love it. It's brash.
I just think it's got... a really heavy single that doesn't just has a backing vocal or like auto tune that doesn't sound like any of the girls. It could be anyone.
But that's exactly what has happened. This Sweet 7 era, and we'll get into it with the album, but it's the first Sugar Babes album without any co-write from any members, which is just so wild. I just can't even think like how that decision has been, how that input has been removed from the girls when they've always from the beginning written their own material. And bear in mind, Keisha was part of the making of this album, so for her to be sat there and be given these songs, it must have been
just
weird.
Being like, yeah, here's the album. And also, yes, it's a huge opportunity, but it also was probably an opportunity where they may have been like, well, we're signing you, but this is what it is. So David, the music video for this song,
I love this music video.
I think it's really cool, actually. I think like this is a way to do a green screen music video because it still looks expensive. It looks flashy. So we have the girls all kind of doing their own thing, and then we have a sea of clones of each of the girls. Now, do you think they were trying to be tongue in cheek here?
I think very tongue in cheek, you know, playing on the fact that they're sort of replaceable members, and there's, you know, it's like a factory of Sugar Babes members. I think it's super, super clever. And it does look slick, like you said. This was done by the same director who did the About a Girl music video, and it's completely different. This just feels like, okay, somebody came to the office that day with some ideas, you know.
At the time, David, I saw this lineup of the Sugar Babes perform this song live.
Oh my God, where?
So, as I was saying, one year Jade's a contestant on Eurovision, Your Country Needs You. The next year she's part of the Sugar Babes. And I was in the studio watching that performance because a girl from my year at college was a contestant on it. So I was there to support her. I think Jade might have been a judge, but I might be making that up. And then she was certainly there, full out. It was saying, you know, last year's winner is here, part of the Sugar Babes, their new single, let's go.
That is a clever promo moment.
And I'm there in the studio and I'm still like, yeah!
You wanna wear my kiss all over your body.
Part of me's like, you just never know what could happen. Next year I could be part of the Sugar Babes.
Did you say that to your friend that was actually in the that
she's hugely talented, didn't get picked that year, unfortunately, but that's all okay. But yeah, it was, you know, still, you know, I'm really happy and proud to say that, as I've mentioned this podcast before, I've been able to see, apart from 2.0, which I know is the definitive for some people, I've been able to see every other incarnation of the Sugar Babes perform live. So to get to experience that at this point was still a real moment in history, and to be so close to it as well, because it was such an intimate audience, like literally a stone's throw away, you know. They could have like sang a bit loud and spat on me by accident if they needed to.
And you would have been like, yes, Jade Ewan spat on me. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So this single, Where My Kiss, debuted and peaked at number 7 on the UK charts, one position higher than About It Girl. That is 3 top 10 singles already for this album campaign, you know. Whereas we might need to check the records, but pretty sure past Sugar Babes albums, when you get to single number 3, that is not a top 10. So, and you know, we like to remember this as, oh, you know, this is the flop era or whatever. But come on, 3 top 10 singles going into the album.
So, David, let's read out these chart positions. 7 here in the UK, 73 in Slovakia, 4 on the Scottish official charts.
Come on, Scotland. They were wearing the kiss.
They wanted a temporary tattoo. 9 in Ireland, 27 on the European Hot 100, and 49 in the Czech Republic, which was brilliant. So, David, before we get into the album, I have a question for you, if I may. So I've said to me, out of the 3 singles, About a Girl is by far the strongest. And then I would say Get Sexy. And then I would say Wear My Kiss. What's your preference of those 3 singles?
I'm very happy with the way reality has given us these singles. If anything, I would have liked Wear My Kiss to be single number 2. But you know what? Red One was such a big produce at the time. You had to go with that for the second single. So,
well, yeah, and it makes sense, you know. Get Sexy is such an in-your-face single for the debut.
You need something like that. Get Sexy is the wannabe of this era.
So, March 2010, the Sweet 7 album finally comes out, and we're discussing this as, in the grand scheme of things, even if Keisha was still in the band, I think the nation would have struggled to take this on board as a Sugar Babes album. So then, especially the narrative of her leaving, people just couldn't get on board.
I think that is crap. And you know what? Like, she has said it on her YouTube channel that she was used as a scapegoat when this album didn't perform well. You know, it just... She spoke to someone at Island Records, someone quite senior at Island Records. And why are all these stories like coming out now? Like, why am I being dragged into this? And someone at the label told her, like, you know what? The album's not being received well, so they need someone to take the heat for it. And so they're blaming it on you. So it's just wild, isn't it? It's just maddening that...
It's maddening. And like, for a girl band that we love and we applaud the performers, the singers, the talent, the media gave Keisha so much slack that she didn't deserve. And then I think that would have been incredibly hard for Jade to come in as a performer that's just trying to make it happen for herself. But I'm really so happy that I get to look at this album today with such the joy that it is, and I get to look at it with you. So shall we jump right into this album, David?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Look, I really do like this album a lot. This is just, honestly, banger, mate. So many fucking bangers on this album. This is an A-list, glossy, main pop girl group album.
Expensive American.
It is dead expensive. So as we said before, Bruno Mars production trio, the Smeezingtons, produce on this album. They do a couple of tracks on here. Fernando Garibay, who worked on Lady Gaga's The Fame Monster, is on here. Red One, as we mentioned before. Stargate, who... You know, on top of doing Atomic Kitten and Samantha Mumba and Mystique back in the day, by this point, Stargate was having a resurgence, working with Beyonce, doing Irreplaceable, and also working closely with Neo, who's also on this album. Some of the songs here may sound like potential Pussycat Dolls album tracks or singles, and I'm not mad about that. Like, I'm here for it. So, Joel, let's talk about... We've already touched on the first 3 singles, which happen to be the first 3 tracks. Wait For You. Oh, I love this song.
David, right, I remember within the last few years, I listened to this album for the first time. And the minute I heard this song, I actually text you and said, wow, this is a really good song. And you were like, yeah, it is a great song.
Where have you been?
Yeah, basically. I would go on, for everything I've said, I would say this is one of the best Sugar Babes album tracks, full stop.
Better Than Never Gonna Dance Again.
One of, I said, one of.
I was ready to start a fight. That red wine's kicked in.
Meet you on the common.
Look, I love this song a lot. I just think the chorus is so stunning. It's a classic pop chorus. You know, there's a bit of yearning. There's a bit of longing in there. You know I'll wait for you. If it takes a lifetime to do.
This song, David, made me want to start a playlist called Rachel Stevens' Third Album. It's been part of the conversation, you know, we've had drunken talks about it, we've spoken about it with friends of the pod, and they've gone, yeah, but realistically, what would a third Rachel Stevens album sound like? And I think this song should be a track on it. It's like the older sister to Nothing Good About This Goodbye.
We love a wistful moment with like just a bit of dance floor energy. Yeah. So yeah, this is a Fernando Garibay track co-written by Bruno Mars himself. So yes.
He loves it.
I wonder if he's still like, if he thinks about this album.
Oh yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he just popped it out one day. But to me, this is like the 10 out, like there's quite a few 10 out of 10 songs, but this is like this is like 10 out of 10. This is the strongest way. You start off with your first three singles and then they've gone in really confidently with track four.
So the next track on the album, like we're really basically going to do this episode like we did with the Forever, Spice Girls Forever episode where we go track by track, because why not? Listen, you're part of the babedom. You love it. We love it. This is the time to pay respects, right? And really put some positivity.
Yeah, so you either know it and love it, or this is your intro to it,
darling. Oh, this is your intro, and that's fine. Thank you for the heartbreak.
Now, this is a David Lim song. What DL is this ending? Is this going to be on?
Single one on album two. This is the comeback right. Single. Yeah, you know, I've had a very public breakup. It's all over the tabloids.
Yeah.
This is my fight for this love moment. I'm reclaiming the narrative. So yeah, this one is produced by Stargate, written by Ryan Tedder and Claude Kelly. So Ryan Tedder of One Republic, very successful. Claude Kelly, who has written for Whitney Houston. Absolutely massive. Joel, when the album sampler leaked with Keisha's vocals still on it, that was my first time hearing this song, and I was obsessed. And dare I say, the album version with Jade slaps. Jade did that. Her ad-libs on this is very, very, very good.
And I know a lot of people say they should have kept Keisha's voice on some of the tracks, but Jade really did come in at basically the start of an era. They'd only had one single. And I think why people say they should have kept Keisha on it is because when Amel came in, even I think I'd said this in the past, the album had really had its era, so it made sense to just re-record a few and put it out there. Whereas this was, they couldn't have done it with the, unfortunately, they couldn't have done it with the Keisha track still on there, because that's not a way to continue a brand new era.
And do you know what? It's on the internet if you want to hear it. There's the original version with Keisha's vocals. I love it a lot. And there's been some live performances of Keisha, Amel and Heidi. I think it was like a Radio 1 Live Lounge or something like that, where they do it with a band. Oh my God, cracking.
What's also interesting of this time is Keisha was basically the lead singer, or was geared up to be the lead singer of this album. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is, on all these tracks, it feels like Jade's the through line. It feels like she's front and center.
Yeah, and whereas it would have been Keisha, that's the through line on the original version of this album, which I get, yeah, and I completely agree, yeah.
Keisha is kind of more the, technically, the more authentic glue.
You know, I remember back when she was doing promo for this album, The Girls, and Jade was saying that she would go and sing these lines and they would basically just tell her, just sing it like the way it's already been sung, as in the way Keisha had sung it, which must be so just limiting and reductive for a singer and a performer. But I feel like the one difference that she got to really put her stamp on it was on the ad-libs for Thank You for the Heartbreak. Because when you listen to the ad-libs, they're very different.
Yeah, so I think on all of this, Jade gives you a really clean, powerful main pop girl vocal. That's what she brings to the table. Kind of like a Nicole Scherzinger in the Pussycat Dolls kind of thing, you know, like it's like right on top and you like love it and own it. And imagine if they had been able to tour this album, like Jade would have given this song to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So let's move on to track 6, Miss Everything, featuring Sean Kingston. Now, that's a name I've not said since 2010.
I mean, yeah, this is a very...
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. This is off the time.
You know what kind of driver? Never heard of a 9-to-5. Oh yes, I'm pissed to death, and in the club I'll be the fire.
Shawty is the type who like to find a thing. Flowers, cars, and candy, they don't mean a thing. You better control
her
and
jewel. All right, and this is like a flashy and fantastic of the time, but you do listen to it, you go, okay, right.
A choice, yeah.
We love Paris Hilton on this podcast. Nicole Richie, The Simple Life, it's one of the greatest TV shows of all time, Heiresses, but I like to think we've left that in the 2000s. The glamorizing of it anyway, the putting entitlement on a pedestal, but...
Yeah, it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? You know I've got a driver, never heard of a 9-to-5-er. I love that lyric as well from Jade. I like them diamonds.
Like a pirate looking for treasure, I know how to find them. I was like, how could I work that into the intro? But I was like, nah, we'll go with like classic DL. And I don't want to be a pirate looking for treasure. I want it to be my time, my moment. I think this and a few other tracks on this sound a bit like songs that didn't make it onto Heidi Montag's Superficial. And that is a high compliment. That is one of my favourite albums of all time. And that is someone that is desperately wanting to be a pop star and given something loads of money for one of the best produced pop albums of our time that's incredibly underrated. So some of these songs do sound like things that were almost on that.
Speaking of, shall we get to track 7, which is a very, very iconic Demon Twink Energy song. She's a Mess.
Everybody go mad, everybody go psycho.
And then she hit the house drinking bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle.
Hey!
Bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle.
She's such a mess up in that dress. She's sweating bullets. I'm not impressed. Her makeup's running. Her heels are broken.
This song is just chaotic, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely wild. But look, everybody go mad, everybody go psycho, she's a mess, da, 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 da.
Joe, this one was originally called I'm a Mess, so the lyrical structure of the song was actually singing about yourself, like the singer is saying I'm such a mess, and the Sugar Babes decided that was a little too much. You know, we've got young fans,
that's not us, Jay-Z.
You know, we've got young fans. We can't be setting a bad example. So they kind of flipped it around to She's a Mess.
You know, look, as us that we were like teens in our early 20s around this time, we can relate to this. You know, it's like being drunk.
I was like, what, 22, 23, going out a lot. This is my energy.
Yeah, definitely. It's like this makes me feel like a teenager in my early 20s, like going to Cuba, going to Soho, getting pissed. Blonder than the sun. I mean, it would have been my original Twitter bio, hot blonde mess. You know, like how you have in like TV and film, and like it's like meant to be cheesy and funny, but you go and see your younger self. If I could go and see, you know, your younger self, I would like get them at this era. I would take a copy of the Sugar Babes Sweet 7 with me, and I would say, calm down.
Drink some water.
Take a breath.
Stop, slow down, take a deep breath.
Stop, slow down, take a deep breath. I would say stop trying to think you know everything and being all that. And just listen to this album. It's a really good album and enjoy it while it's here.
Especially track 7, yeah, because that's you, darling.
And then whoosh, the time ripples of how everything would change after all of that.
So the next two tracks, I would probably want to lump as one and just quickly move on because they're not really standouts for me. Talking about Give It To Me Now and Crash and Burn.
Yeah, well, I would say Give It To Me Now is kind of like mid-tempo of this album. You know, it's still like at the club because you got those like loud.
This is rhythmic. This is giving more different kind of flavours.
This is very, you know, especially at the time, and like, I don't know, I don't go to like straight places now really, but this was, so they probably do still exist, but especially when I was growing up and, you know, when you don't have your people yet. So it would be like sometimes going out to Soho and all that, but sometimes you'd go to like more like the lounges, especially growing up in Romford and wherever it, I can't even remember where they go in Towie. You know, you have those straight bars that are lounges and everyone was loving Funky Buddha and all these things. This is kind of the song for that.
Yeah, that kind of vibe where it's not clubby, but it's still up-tempo.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sexy and sophisticated and all that. Yeah. Look, I appreciate his place on the album. It's not really one for me, but I know a lot of fans like it as an album track. And then we got Crash and Burn, which I think the girls actually quite like, and they have performed this a little bit as well, haven't they?
So, yeah. So you sent me a link, Davo, just before this record. So in the build-up to the release of this album, the girls did the Sun's Biz Sessions, where they performed about five tracks, one of which including Crash and Burn.
Too busy pointing fingers over who was wrong or right. Couldn't see the pouring rain through our selfish pride. Can't pretend all along we didn't see it coming. Tried to hit the brain, but we crashed and burned.
Now, David, why I think this was a choice for the live performance is it's not the vibe of the album and it's a bit misleading, but hearing the girls sing this live, it feels like they're trying to nod more to previous sounds and what you'd expect on a Sugar Babes album. Much like when Ashley Simpson did her third album and it was more electro-dancey sort of vibe. But then she released Little Miss Obsessive, which I am obsessed with. But that was also on the circuit to try and be like, well, you liked the last few albums, so buy this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the kind of through line from the previous work to the current era. I get it. And also, it's a good song to do live vocally. We must say, before I forget, Sugar Babes 4.0, one of my favourite live performances they did was a cover of Florence and the Machine's Rabbit Heart, Raise It Up. It was a live lounge cover. Oh my God, their harmonies here, stunning, absolutely stunning. They had a harpist in the studio as well, so it was giving vibes there with a harp. Very impressed.
So also what's interesting is on that same the Sun's Biz Sessions, when they sung about a girl, they did the classic slow down start. Heidi opened it. They didn't do Red Wine Sugar Babes. They just went in with Heidi doing a bit of vocal, really slow and sultry.
You think I'm sexy, huh? International.
And then they sped it up and they were loving it and all that. It was very, you know, dramatic awards performance vibe. You know, when you've got a big banger, but you're like, I'm so serious tonight with the slow opening and then all the lights come on, tempo's up.
We like them lights. Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, we love it. So, Davo, let's get Stargate back in the mix. Track 10.
This is the Neo written track for the Sugar Babes, No More You. Joel, honestly, I've not played this song probably in about 10 years. And today in research for this episode, I was like, wow, I completely remember why I love this song so much.
I remember how you didn't like how some of your boys used to stay in me. Oh, oh, what if you saw me out one night with one of them? Tell me, would it make you angry? Really? Well, it was what it was.
And, you know, at this time, Stargate and Neo, this pairing, they really gave us lots of bops. And this song is very on par with some of the songs that they've done for other artists. Like, I'm thinking Rihanna's Good Girl Gone Bad, Pussycat Dolls' Happily Never After, They're all very good sister tracks to this one. What do you think of it?
Yeah, fantastic. Real standout on the album. A strong moment as we're getting near the end of the album, for sure, don't you think?
I just love the lyrics. Like, everything you didn't like me wearing now comes out of that box in a closet. The necklace you gave me, would give it back, but I think I lost it.
Oh, yeah. That's like Hun's breakup anthem, in a good way. In a good way.
Don't you think Neo writes really good Hun's breakup songs?
And Neo is a young diva.
Neo is a fucking young diva, isn't it? Wow.
So many potential Facebook statuses for David Lim. Let's go from that standout to... Life can be sweet and amazing.
If this day like the last one, 'cause there is joy in every second. So don't be afraid to find a good spirit. Every day has a reward.
This is another Stargate track, and it's so beautiful, so cheerful, so exuberant.
It's an uplifting moment that we all need, especially in these strange times. And I sent you a little audio note of me singing it the other day, didn't I, David?
It's gorgeous, and I just think everyone needs this song in their life. It kind of reminds me of Little Mix's Change Your Life. This is on my self-empowerment playlist.
And then let's round off the album, David, with Little Miss Perfect.
Ooh, dramatique. This is, yeah.
Sing me a bit of this song again. Remind me how it goes.
Heidi opening the first verse. This is very musical theatre, this part. I'm the most responsible girl that I know. Never late, always on time for the show. Ask anyone around me and they'll tell you just how I am. Yeah. Oh, Heidi!
Heidi.
It's so relatable because you do believe that she's she's the most responsible girl ever.
That is the narrative.
I try to tell the truth every chance that I get. I never let the work I'm doing get to my head. That is Heidi to a T.
But look at me now. I was so busy telling everyone how good life is now that you're gone.
This song is emotional for me. Like, I can't even. It's written by Claude Kelly, who worked on the last Whitney Houston album, I Look to You. This was one of those that, yeah, post-breakup, after breaking up with my boyfriend, I listened to this a lot when I was feeling really down. Yeah.
I think it's a great way to end the album. Because if we don't get one little dramatic musical theatre moment from the Heidi range, then what's the point? It would be a great, like, act one closing moment of a musical.
The Sugar Babes musical.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, when they're going through a lineup change. Look at me now. I was so busy telling everyone how good life is now that you're gone.
Or it would be, like, the penultimate song of act one. So, like, they'd be like, oh, my God. But then something happens just before the end of Act One, and then it's like gives a bit more hope so we can jump into
it. Do you think we'll ever see a Sugar Babes musical? Is this something you'd want to see?
It's not something I'd want to see. I think it's something we will see. These things just happen, don't they? Where people think they can make cash in a venture, they'll push it.
David Lim's writing it as we speak.
What was that you said again, Charles? Penultimate of Act One. Okay. The people I want to see singing the Sugar Babes songs is the Sugar Babes.
Yep, got it.
Noted. Still going to ride it.
And then when it's finished, Joel's like, oh, can I be in it?
Yeah, I'll play any of them. I would like to play Jade.
No, you are you have to do Heidi because of your world famous accent now.
And you're going to play ML?
Yeah. I'm too scared to do the ML accent now. You notice I've not done it this episode.
We'll do a couple of shots before every show.
Yeah, okay, so that was Little Miss Perfect. Jolie B, we have gone through the entire Sweet 7 album. Wow. So, okay, now in 2021 eyes, I know you've made peace with it. You weren't on board with it in the beginning. How would you rate this album out of 10?
10. It's done around all the clubs and everything. 10.
I actually, and right, Babedom, don't come for me for this. Out of all the Sugar Babes albums now, this is the one I would go to. If I just want to put on a Sugar Babes album. Because it's so, like, it's such a vibe and it's fun and it's, you know, when you know how, like...
But you know exactly what you're getting, yeah. Like ordering a meal at McDonald's. You know
you
exactly
know what you're
going to
get,
right?
And it's exactly that. And you go, because you look at them on, you go, oh, I just want to put that on.
Because where's the other albums? They're so varied and they're different themes and moods and genres and styles. Whereas this one, you know, I want a Romford Hunt's Night Out vibe. That is the energy. It's a Friday, Sweet Seven Friday. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Romford, let's go. It's 2 in the morning. They ain't serving no more alcohol tonight. That's right. Especially for like when you get to Wait For You and Thank You For The Heartbreak, you're just like, wow.
That's the sweet spot, really, of Sweet Seven.
Yeah.
Wait For You and Thank You For The Heartbreak.
Fun, slick, edgy electro pop that's like 11 out of 10 that we just absolutely adore. As Heidi Range said at the time, there are some lyrics that are quite cheeky, but some people shouldn't take them seriously.
Which I'm not a mess, you know. I'm the most responsible girl that I know.
That bit you can take seriously, but the other bits, no.
Not everybody feels the same way as we do. This album generally got rather negative reviews at the time. So Sweet Seven debuted at number 14 on the UK albums chart, which became the Sugar Babes' lowest charting album since One Touch at that time. The album dropped 29 places to number 43 in the second week. So,
and 14 is really respectable. Like,
it's
you know,
not bad, yeah, but I just think, you know what, it's a very expensive album. A lot was riding on it, and I can understand the slight embarrassment from the label's side. But do you know what? It's 2021 and we're still talking about it. That's how much we enjoy it.
Justice for Sweet Seven. So David, around this time they had a big launch party where the girls sung not only songs from this album, but they also sung Sugar Babes classic hits like Round Round and Too Lost in You, you know, and they also had a very iconic performance on the UK comedy sketch show, on Katie Brand's UK comedy sketch show. It was an ITV sketch show.
This is absolutely hilarious and amazing. So they did a parody song that was pretty much About a Girl. You know, they got the same costumes from About a Girl.
Wide wine.
Yeah. All the lyrics are basically about growing a new sugar babe. So like a new replacement member.
Yeah. And, you know, good on the girls for... Because even at the time when everything I was feeling, I caught that at the time and I thought, you know, good for you, you know.
Yeah, you got to be able to laugh at yourself. And that's a very British quality, isn't it?
Oh, we love to take the piss out of ourselves, darling, here in Britain. I mean, hopefully it only takes listening to this to know that. So around this time as well, the Sugar Babes released their first ever fragrance line, David.
Can you believe after like more than 10 years of the Sugar Babes, they released their first fragrance?
It was three fragrances, Tempt, Tease and Touch. Now, guys, you can still get some of these online. They are in stock on some websites and even in some stores that we've seen on Instagram recently.
So which one would you be, Joel? Are you Tempt, Tease or Touch?
I'm Tease.
You're a bit of a tease,
a bit
would
of
you
tease.
Say?
What would you be?
I'm definitely Tempt.
And maybe a bit of Touch.
Don't mean nothing if you're just tempting and teasing in it. You gotta have a bit of Touch.
Do you think it would stay on your skin long enough for even when it's 2 in the morning, they ain't serving no more alcohol tonight? But look, if anyone's got one of these sitting around, we will happily have them.
Yeah, please post a picture if
or
you've
give
got
them
Tempt,
to us.
Tease or Touch. Yeah, very tempting.
I would buy one, but I'm not paying. They're like still on sale for like 15 quid. I'm like, I'd buy it for a fiver. And now, David, the most legendary and iconic moment of this era, which we must touch on while we're here, is the Microsoft 7 collaboration, David. Now, look, this is so incredibly
Windows 7,
iconic.
Wow.
Windows 7, especially on gay Twitter, and especially of how online content looked 10 years ago. So you got poor Jade, new member. Heidi and Amel have forgotten her birthday, so they are making the worst birthday card ever.
Clip art,
happy birthday, written on it. Jade comes in,
What are you two up to? Heidi and Emil. Set list, diary. And then Jade comes in and goes, oh, I was just going to make a cup of tea. Do any of you want one? And Mel goes, oh, yeah, I'll have one of those. One of those. I mean, improv 101, hats off to them. And then, you know, it's just like, well, it's what you've, it's really this last minute that you've forgotten to make her birthday card. And then what, were you just going to show it to her on the screen? I don't think you've got access to a printer. So Jade goes off to make the cup of tea and then she comes back in. She catches them writing the birthday card. She goes, ah, knew it. It's kind of like if Spice World was remade then and had no budget, that's kind of what it would be like. But it's very, it's just hilarious. It's iconic. It's, and I have to give a heartfelt shout out to Martin Hett, who is the reason why I first knew this. His article on HuffPost of him dissecting this Sugar Babes Windows 7 post, this Windows 7 advert is why it touched so many of our hearts and has brought me so much joy. And unfortunately, Martin is no longer with us. And you've probably seen on Twitter, hashtag Be More Martin, and we could all be more Martin. So I want to give a red wine toast to Martin.
Red wine toast to Martin. I'm just looking at his blog now. He's done a screenshot of a Microsoft Windows that says, wanted new sugar babe, £6.50 per hour, designed by ML in Comic Sans font, oh with like God. A clip art balloon.
Oh my God, Martin, you're a comedy genius.
Yes, the blog on Huffington Post is still out there if you want to read it. Sugar Babes Windows 7 Advert, an in-depth analysis by Martin Hett.
So that kind of is it for 2010, David.
Round about the time where Sweet 7 was coming out, Mutya had secured rights to the Sugar Babes name because I remember the girls being asked about it in interviews.
There were a lot of upset school kids that Christmas without their stationery sets.
Without their Sugar Babes branded stationery. So yeah, I remember that being a story at the time. So already around Sweet 7 launching, there was rumblings of the Origi Babes maybe getting back in touch with each other. Mucha, Keisha,
Siobhan. Which was Siobhan. Wild.
Which was wild, but also nice because it kind of felt like, okay, there's reconciliation there. But also what that meant for the current Sugar Babes lineup is that you're seen as even more inauthentic when the original members are behind the scenes talking and getting back together, you know? And also throughout that summer in 2010 and 2011 or whatever, while they were doing festivals, Keisha saw the Sugar Babes 4.0 at Wireless Festival, I believe it was. And she went backstage and she chat with the girls and they had a moment. So it kind of felt like they've talked it out there. Coming to July 2011, the summer of Keisha, I have in my notes. I don't know why I wrote that, but yeah, this was a time where it was teased that Keisha Buchanan was going solo. I believe in my mind she had an Island Records showcase, which in research for this episode, I realized was a live performance she did as part of her role as an ambassador for Jux Townhouse. Here, she did a cover of Beyoncé's Girls and performed a couple of original songs of hers. One was called Beautiful Mess and the other was called Fearless, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, and I loved on the clip that you sent me of Beautiful. You've got you watch it. Sounds amazing, obviously. Fantastic track.
Yeah, it's really interesting that, you know, that summer of 2011, Keisha was starting to get gears in motion for her solo record deal. And it seems like she was going to be aligned with Island Records, which is the label that had been behind the Sugar Babes. She was back working with Dallas Austin again. So it seemed kind of promising, but yeah, it's kind of unfortunate we never got the album.
I mean, I would love if we'd had we should have, and we still could have a huge Keisha album. Would have been absolutely fantastic. But I think what is wonderful, and it's a story for another day, but we did obviously see that the girls got back together, Keisha, Mucha and Siobhan, released an amazing single, Flatline, went on tour. Unfortunately, that album didn't get released, but we've just had a big anniversary. And
Mighty Hoopla headline 2022. I'm very excited. We got our tickets. We're going.
And the best is still to come from those. And I look forward at looking at that chapter one day in 5 years' time.
Meanwhile, Sugar Babes 4.0 are coming back with original material. This is a brand new era with Jade Ewan's input.
the girls had moved over to RCA now at this point.
Yeah, different label, yeah.
So they've been working on their 8th album, can you believe it? The Sugar Babes' 8th album. And here is in what, in theory, September 2011, is due to be the launch and lead single off that album. Freedom! I will be honest with you, this song passed me by completely.
Really?
Until about a year or two ago, I found out it was a song.
I was obsessed with this on arrival. And I just distinctly remember in all the interviews, because this must have been around the time Britney did Hold It Against Me. And, you know, she had the dubstep breakdown.
Oh, dubstep was very big.
I remember, like, in interviews, like, Heidi was saying that, oh, no, we recorded this song a few months ago, you know. That was before Britney came out with all the dubstep stuff. It's produced by the Invisible Men, who worked on Catfights and Spotlights, interestingly enough, and also on The Metro for Girls Aloud.
Oh, best song of all time.
So look, Joel, this was meant to be a big single, a comeback single, but something...
Something wasn't right.
Something was a bit off here. And I don't know why it went really... It took a turn, but... I remember at the beginning, it was lots of ads to do with Nokia. The song was going to be used in a Nokia ad or something. So there already was a very strong product placement connection there. This single was cancelled because the pre-orders were really poor.
Allegedly, pre-orders were poor. It hadn't had any radio airplay.
And it would have been embarrassing for the Sugar Babes to come back and their lead single flop. So I guess management strategy and the label strategy is that let's release this as a free promotional single so it's not eligible to chart.
As a thank you to the fans on Amazon Music.
But this was after the music video had come out and everything, you know, like they filmed this music video in July.
Looking back, it's just such a shame because it looks like it had all the makings that there was a lot of put into it early on for it to be a big single. We've got this big sort of sexy nighttime club music video. It's like kind of like Sugar Babes at Heaven sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
This music video was directed by Sean de Sparengo, who actually did Girls Aloud's Call the Shots music video. I remember thinking, wow, they've got like really Lady Gaga-esque costumes with the big shoulder pads and like the body suits. Very pop star of the time. And it turns out some of the stylists and designers for their outfits had worked with Lady Gaga and Katy Perry. So, you know, again, it was giving major label priority act vibes, right?
And yeah, there was really big performances for this. We saw them perform at T4 on the Beach, where they had backing dancers and they had the Rachel Stevens ribbons out. They performed it on the Hollyoaks Music Show. They performed it on the morning shows, I think.
So it was like all the standard big kind of promo activity you would expect for a comeback campaign.
Although, as I've said, I wasn't ready for it at the time. I would now love to have seen what a full era with this lineup would have looked like. An album from its conception with Jade in mind.
It kind of feels like, let's do present day pop girl, but with an En Vogue energy.
Yeah, that would have been fan bloody tastic. And unfortunately, from there, it seems like it really kind of fizzled out. There was no official statement, nothing.
They signed this new deal with RCA, reportedly worth £1 million, for a 3-album deal. So there must have been some sort of inkling of, okay, we see the Sugar Babes as being viable. They're going to give us more music.
I'm just so curious. Some of these things we'll never know, but how far along of this album did they get?
What could have been would have been very, very interesting. But I think sadly the public just lost interest.
Looking back, I don't think Freedom is a lead single, but I think it's a really good song.
It's a good buzz track. Let's call it a buzz track.
And if they'd gone of it like that, I think it works really well as a buzz track into this era.
As a teaser, yeah. But you know, one thing I really enjoyed from this era, and I always love looking at pictures of it, is the GAY performance where the three girls turn up in latex, like coordinated latex outfits. very yes. stunning. I do love a latex outfit. They were like kind of pastel colours.
Especially at GAY, yes.
Oh my God, you have to do it, darling.
And I think we were entering such a cusp of the time where the charts was really changing. Like a label would know now that you do all that and you might not get a chart position. But then it would have looked awful and the press would have had a field day.
This thing was meant to come out on 4th of September and ends up being delayed a few weeks. And then it ends up being just a free single, you know. Even to this day on streaming, like, it's not officially there.
It is on Spotify.
It is on Spotify, but, like...
It's on a compilation. So, what is a shame is that it did just end, and it was really an elephant in the room for a long time. Even in such as 2013 or 2014, Amel was saying, you know, me and the girls are going to get together at the end of the year, and we're really going to discuss if we want to do another album and what it will be like, but we want to make sure everyone's there and is happy in doing it. So there was still rumblings right up until the mid-2010s, basically, that this lineup were going to come back and do something. And there was even rumours, David, in the early 2010s that there was going to be another Sugar Babes Greatest Hits. Rob Copsey, friend of the podcast, when he was still at Digital Spy, wrote an article about this potential Sugar Babes Greatest Hits that was going to be released. We weren't sure if it was going to be an Overload Chapter 2, or if it was going to be a budget greatest hits. And then 10 years later, we have eventually got an incarnation of it in this Essential Sugar Babes release. So it's so interesting is it really that one that's just bobbed along on the circuit until now?
Quite possibly, yeah. They were biding their time, waiting for the Sugar Babes to come back into press prominence.
But yes, so look, I think that really does wrap up this era, David, doesn't it?
It is. We have gone from Sweet 7 to freedom. That's what we've done. Crazy, isn't it? But look, very, very happy that in 2021, the Sugar Babes brand is continuing. Mucha Keisha Siobhan, the Origi Babes. I have never seen the Sugar Babes live. I'm so, like, I could cry, Joel, honestly.
Well, David, you're going to.
The Flatline era came out in 2013, right? And that, right. And I moved here at the end of 2013, so I missed all that.
Hearing those three incredible vocalists sing together, there's nothing like it in this world. Nothing like it. I would love in an alternate world, we see the Sugar Babes 1.0 headline Mighty Hoopla, and I would love to see Sugar Babes 4.0 perform at the Clapham Grand or RVT, you know?
Sort of like a B stage, a different,
yeah,
like a complimentary set, yeah. Gosh, I would lose my shit. I would have to go to both. Yeah.
With special guests, David and Joel, right back at you.
Oh my God, we would be at the front. You know I'll wait for you.
Absolutely. But look, these are six incredible women, six incredible performers, songwriters, vocalists. Big love to all of them.
Love them so much. Love
we love the babedom. So thank you for listening, guys. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email us rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at @Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, bye.